Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, and I want to read only two verses in the book of Hebrews this morning. You know, the time that you and I are living in, there are so many individuals who really are struggling in giving thanks. You know, people are losing their jobs right and left. Just the other day, one company closed, 18,500 jobs were lost. And we live in a world where there is such volatility. You know, there's so many people who are saying, you know, how do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Well, the truth about it is, you and I don't really know what's going to happen tomorrow. But you know, for the redeemed man, for the redeemed woman, boy or girl of God, here's the one thing that we know. We may not know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we also know this. We know who holds tomorrow. And the next day, and the day after that, and the day after that. And really and truly, we know who has this world in the palm of his hand. You know, some of us used to sing a song when we were kids in Sunday school and VBS. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me. Well, you and I need to be reoriented to that afresh. And the title of the message this morning is Giving Thanks for God. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Verses 4 and 5, and I want you just to look at these two verses, because the truth about it is, you and I need to back up, and we need to be reminded who it is that's got everything in this world in his hands. And I want you to listen carefully to these two verses of Scripture. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The last words, giving thanks to his name. Now, you and I, as I said, we're in a very volatile world. You know, we live in a world of such volatility, but the truth about it is it's always been that way. Maybe we get a little bit older and we realize that and we see that. We see more things happening. But one thing that you and I need to back up and we need to be so reoriented, this is going to be probably one of the most basic messages, but I found that it's needful because the more and more people I'm listening to, the more and more people are scared to death about the world, are scared to death about their lives, are scared to death about their future, their income. But I want you to listen carefully this morning because if there's one thing that you and I need to give thanks for and one person you and I need to give thanks for, we need to give thanks, number one, for the Lord God Almighty. You know, we live in a world where there's a whole lot of people who are saying, and even believers are falling for this. They're saying, well, you know, you just don't know if there's a God out there. You just don't know if there's a God that created everything that is. As a matter of fact, just recently there was a man who put up a billboard. It was on the news. He said, don't believe in God, join the club. Because we really live in a world of many people who simply don't believe in the living God. And yet, and there are so many people who are living and believing in evolution. In other words, you know, we somehow came into being 14.5 billion years ago through some type of glitch, and everything that there is that ever will be is simply because of that. Well, I want you to hold on to your Bibles, and I want you to follow along with me and have your outline out, because you and I need to be reoriented, and we need to be ever more mindful to give thanks to the Lord God for who he is. Did you know that it wasn't really up until about the 1800s that this idea of evolution even came into thinking? As a matter of fact, even scientists and the best minds around the 1800s, there was no idea or no concept of evolution. Charles Darwin, in his book, Origin of Species, you know, he brought about a lot of things. And really what evolution does, it just simply basically does this. There's a lot of men and women who don't want to believe there's a God because they want to live any old way. They want to do what they want to do, and they want to believe, well, you know, if I was created by nothing, I'm going to go to nothing, and I can do anything in my life I can do. But I want you to listen to me real carefully. There is a God in heaven. And you and I need to be reoriented afresh every day of our life, that there is a God who has always been sitting on his throne, who is sitting on his throne, and who will forever sit on the throne above the universe. And you know, you and I need to realize that. Well, somebody say, well, how do you know there's a God? How do you know there really is a God? Well, even if you don't use the Bible, just consider this, and we're going to be using Scripture, so follow along. Consider the fact that the earth and world are here for just a moment. Nothing can't produce everything that there is. You follow me? You know, if somebody came up to you and said, where'd you get that car? Poof, it just came into being. Where'd you get that nice outfit? Poof, it just came into being. You know, how did you buy that business? Poof, it just came in. Where'd you get your money? Poof, it just came into being. Well, there is no such thing as nothing creating everything. There is one who caused all that there is, and that one is the sovereign God of the universe. In the very beginning book of Genesis, God makes it very clear. He said, I'm the chief architect of everything that there has been, is, or ever will be. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I was just looking the other day, and some astronomers suggest that there's between 100 billion to 1 trillion galaxies in the universe that you and I are living in. 100 billion to 1 trillion galaxies. And even in our Milky Way, they say that it contains at least 2 billion stars. Listen to what the Bible says. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Isaiah says, for thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. In other words, you're one of the reasons he created the earth, so you can inhabit it and enjoy it. I am the Lord, and there is none other. And you and I need to back up and be reminded, you know, no matter how chaotic things happen, what we think is going on, there is someone over all this, and that someone is holy God. That someone knows everything that's going on, and there's nothing getting by him. First of all, you know, you think about the fact that this earth and world is here. But second of all, think about this. The earth is designed with splendor and majesty. I don't know about you, but I love the fall seasons. I love to watch the changing of the seasons. Charlotte and I love to go down to the lodge at DuPont and watch the little raccoons play and climb up and down and climb up and down. And be careful about giving them too much food, by the way. But the changing of the seasons, the trees and all that there is. Think about this for a moment. Instinctively inside of every one of us, you know that this world didn't just happen. You know this earth is designed. You know, you don't look at your watch on your hand and say, you know, that thing just exploded, came into being. You know, there's some people who have this idea of a big bang. Can you imagine? Where'd you get your car? Big bang, it just appeared. Or where'd you get all your clothes? Big bang, they just appeared. Listen, why I'm saying that is to say this. You and I need to get oriented back afresh to the reality there is a God in heaven, and he's watching you ever so carefully, lovingly, and he is going to always be watching you in love, because that's who God, the God of the Bible, is. And you see, you know, you'd never wait for a big bang to produce anything. You know, the point is this. Instinctively, you and I know that there is a creator. That everything that is designed has a designer. Cars have a designer. You know, clothes have a designer. Everything that you've got was designed or created by somebody. And the one who designed and crafted this world is holy Almighty God. And he said, above me, there is nobody else. In other words, I am watching everything that's happening. There's nothing out of control. There's nothing happened by random chance. Listen, you may think things are happening randomly, but how can God allow the revelation to be written if he's not in control of everything? And you see, the reality of it is everything is in his control. You know, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29:11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. And you know, this earth is so meticulous. Think about the oxygen you're breathing in. It's 21% of the atmosphere. If it was 15%, you and I would die. If it was 25%, there would be explosions all over the earth. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that to say this. God has specifically, precisely designed his world. People can choose to believe whatever they want to believe, but God has said, I am the sovereign God. I am the one that determines what comes. I am the one who rules the world by my hand and by my power. And I don't know about you, but in troubling time and trying time and difficult times, it's so good to get on my knees and say, Father, I know this world's in your control. It's good to go back to some of those songs of old. You've got the whole world in your hands. You've got me and you and me, brother, you and me, sister. You got the tiny little baby. And by the way, that's getting more precious to me as a grandpa. You know, mothers, you would die for your children. You would do whatever necessary. And you know what our Father in heaven says? You know what? I watch you. I know your need. Now, listen to me real carefully. I don't want you just to understand that there's a God who's in heaven and there's just a God who's in control. But listen, whoever God is, he's been who he is for all of eternity because he says, I don't change. And you and I need to understand that this God who is in heaven is a personal, intimate, loving, caring God. He's not put you on this earth just so you can, you know, just randomly get by or do the best you can. He says, I am your God. Now, in the book of Isaiah, I love that because when I tell my daughter, I said, honey, I'm your daddy. Well, she claims that sometimes. She said, now, Dad, you said call you if I need you. So I need you, Dad. You know what I'm talking about? You pick up the phone of prayer and you say, Father, I'm going to tell you, I'm in a mess. I didn't mean to get in this mess. I've tried to obey. I've tried to do everything I know, but I'm not going to lie. I'm in a mess. I need you. And the Bible says he will send aid from the sanctuary in Zion to those who are in need. That's my God. That's the God who is the sovereign over the universe, who doesn't age. You know, and that's exactly what Scripture says. You know, consider the fact that instinctively every one of us knows that there is a God because there's a moral compass inside of you. Think about this for a moment. Somebody says they're an evolutionist or an atheist or an agnostic. So, well, I just don't believe in God. Here's one problem. Every one of us has a deep, abiding moral compass inside of us. You know what is right. You know instinctively it's wrong to murder. You take a lost judge, and there's a man who's standing trial, lost jurors, and they pass a just sentence on that person. Why? Because they have a moral code inside of them. You have a moral code inside of you. Go to the furthest regions of the world, and you will find that man or that woman, that boy, that girl, who has a holy code inside of them. And so I say that to say this. You and I need to be reoriented afresh to the fact that we need to give thanks to holy God. This world is in control. And since he, not only is he great, not only is he our God, but the Bible makes it very clear that, you know, he is on his throne. I love what Isaiah said. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Now listen, there's going to be a lot of crisis times in every one of our lives. And you need to itch deep in your soul. This God who, if you're a Christian, who saved you and redeemed you, he's not out there in outer space just watching over the world. He says, I am your God. Now you say, how does that relate to me personally? Well, just hang on. You see, whoever God is, he's been that for all of eternity. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Now watch carefully. The Bible makes it very clear. I want you to listen to what the Bible says in Exodus. You know, God is introducing himself to Moses. And he says, Moses, I want to introduce myself to you. I am. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. Exodus 3:14. I am. He didn't say to Moses, I will be. He didn't say to Moses, I was. He says, I am. Have you ever been in a crisis in your life and you need the Lord's hand, you need his provision, and he is always right on time? In other words, Moses found out that this God who had brought him into the world, had given him the assignment to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, he was going to be a very personal and close-up God. That's who our God is. Sometimes we just act like he is so foreign and far off and we can't have access to him and you've got to live a perfect life. Listen, he knows you're not going to live a perfect life. He sees you every day of your life. He sees your private moments. He sees what you do. And the Bible makes it very clear that he loves you just the way you are. Now think about it for a moment. If God is not almighty, he can't make a promise and it stand forever, right? If God's not almighty, he can't make a promise and it will stand forever. Let me just give you one promise he made in Scripture and it's still standing today. There are many of them, but I'm just going to pick out one. God told to Noah, he said, Noah, I'm going to give you a pledge. I'm going to give you the oath of my word that I will never destroy this earth again. And here is my oath and here is my pledge. Anybody know what the pledge is? He said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to what? I'm going to set a bow in the sky. How come you and I still see rainbows? Because he's an eternal God. He's a covenant-keeping God. Listen, 6,000 years may have come and gone, but God hasn't forgot what he said to Noah. God doesn't age. God doesn't doesn't get older. I mean, there's no moment of getting older and getting weaker. One little boy was talking about praying and to God, and he said, Lord, I asked for my mom and dad, and I asked for my brother and sister, and help them with their lives. And at the end of this little boy's prayer, he said, Lord, by the way, please take care of yourself, because if you don't, we're all in a mess. Now think about that for a moment. Think of the logic of that. Lord, if you don't take care of yourself, we're all in a mess. I love what the Bible says. Our God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He don't wear out. He don't get tired. He don't age. Listen, he said, I am your God. I am the Jehovah God. I am the great God. I am the almighty God. I am what you need whenever you need it, because that's who he is. Listen, that's exactly what he says. He's infinite. I love Psalms 121, verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Listen, he's infinite. What that means is this. He's going to always be to you tomorrow what he was yesterday and the day before. And not only is he infinite, but he's constant. If people could have destroyed this Bible, they would have. Why is this book still around? Listen to what Jesus himself says. Heaven's going to pass away. Earth's going to pass away. But my word will never pass away. And you know what? When God gives you a promise, you can take it to the bank. You know, and I love some of the promises in prayer. I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she was having some concerns about something. And I said, well, tell Dad what you want to pray about. And she was specific. She said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's what you pray about, Dad. And at the end of the day, she texted me back. She said, wow, has God been at work? And she talked about how God came through with a specific. Listen, the world is going to say all sorts of trashy stuff because the world doesn't follow our Father. The world doesn't believe him, but he said, I'm your God. I will give you aid. I'll guide you. I'll lead you. I'll direct you. And you know, he makes it very clear. He's not only constant, he's not only infinite in his greatness, but he's personal. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. The Almighty God of the universe, he's either, and I want you to listen. He's either always been impersonal or he's always been personal. Because he's a constant God. If he's always been impersonal, then he don't want you and me to know him. But that's not who he is. Watch this. In the book of Genesis, created Adam and Eve. The Bible says he fellowshipped with them. Came walking with them in the cool of the day. You know why he came to walk with them? Because he wanted them to know, I am a personal. You get it? I am a personal God. I am your God. Listen, Moses, when he was going through the Red Sea, he needed a personal God to guide him through the Red Sea. He needed a God that was there. And that's where you are sometimes. You've got your Red Sea experiences. You don't know what to do. Your back's against the wall. And you need to know, is God personal or impersonal? Listen, he's always been personal. And it's awesome to think about. Listen, he's listening to your prayer. You say, but I'm not perfect. Yes, he knows that. You're not going to be perfect till you get to heaven. But listen, you can thank God that God, you've always been personal. You always will be personal. Why? Because that's just who God is. He's always has been. And you think about not only Moses and his Red Sea experiences, but, you know, you think about Noah and Noah's situation. You think about David facing his Goliath, and some of you are facing Goliath now. You know, even Jesus had to pay taxes. You remember when tax time came, Peter didn't have any money and Jesus didn't either. Don't you need Jesus to be personal in that time too? And here's what Jesus said. Sorry, Peter, I can't help you. No. He said, Peter, now watch how personal it is. You go down and you open the mouth of the first fish you catch, take a little drachma out of him, you pay your tax, and you pay mine too. Now I want you to listen. This Jesus is the same Jesus that died on the cross for you and me, and he's personal to us. That's just who he is. You've got your Goliaths. You've got your Red Sea experiences. David had his Goliath. His was a literal. And I mean, listen, he needed to know the hand of God was with him. Job had his crisis. But you see, here's what happens in our lives. We get in a crisis. We have a Red Sea experience. We face a Goliath. And we blame God. God, why did you do this to me? Why did you allow this to happen to my life? Why did you allow this tragedy to come? You see, a lot of times we say things that are just because we don't know what he's up to. But here's the reality. God don't ever pick on his children. Now think about this for a moment. Imagine God loving you, sending his son to die on the cross, and then picking on you. That's the furthest thing from Scripture. And the reality of it is he's a holy God who'll always guide. And you see, think about it for a moment. He's a personal God. You know, God showed to Moses, said, Moses, when you're in your Red Sea experience, watch and see what I do. I'm going to show up right on time. Now, one of the things I found out about the Lord in my life is this. He is never late, but secondly, he is seldom real early. You know what I'm talking about? You've got something in your life, and you know, you don't find God to be late, but he doesn't come real early. In other words, you're in a situation right now in your life. You're in a crisis, or you're in a Red Sea experience, or you're facing your Goliath. And you say, how do I know that God is personal? Because he's always been personal. That's just who God is. You say, well, why don't I feel it? Well, what are you doing? Are you complaining? Are you mumbling and grumbling? Are you simply saying, Lord, whatever you want to teach me, you just teach me. You see, if you looked at Job's life and didn't read the last chapter, you would misunderstand the hand of God. And see, some of us, you're not going through the end of your situation, and you're trying to judge God right out of the middle of your situation. Listen, if you looked at the cross without knowing the end story, you'd think God hated his own son. But God didn't hate his own son. He was redeeming you and me so you could have a relationship. Why did he let his son go to the cross? Because God is a personal God and says, I want you to have a relationship with me, and I'm willing to pay the price so that you could have that. That's how personal God is. But you know what the devil tells you and me? He don't care about you. Don't pray, don't ask. There's one haunting verse that goes over my mind over and over and over and over again. Benny, you have not because you ask not. I'm going to wonder, and I do wonder, Lord, what have I settled on because I didn't pray? What do I not have that you wanted to bring into my life, but I wished for it to come? I hoped for it to come. I love what David said. David is an old man when he says this. He said, I've been young, and now I'm an aged man. But he said, here's what I have never seen. I have never seen. In other words, he's saying, I've never seen this with my eyes. I've never seen a righteous man or a righteous woman forsaken. I've never seen it. Now, David didn't say, I've seen people forsaken. You look at the wicked. You look at the ungodly. But David said, I've never seen them forsaken. You know why? My father loves to show up right on time. I don't know about you, but I don't know what your relationship is with your Lord. But here's the reality. He loves to show up. And he shows up right on time. And you see, the reality about it is, he's personal. And here's what he says. He's going to always be personal. Benny, I don't overlook you. Think about this. I love what one passage says. He knows us by name. There's a lot of people that don't know you, don't know me. If you called somebody of significance and said, I want you to know that I'm Don Elmore, and this is Don Elmore calling. or this is Benny Bush calling, Don and I may get a hang up. But here's what our Father says. I've engraved you on the palm of my hand. I can't forget you. And you see, here's the thing about it. The storms are going to come. The winds are going to come. But here's what David found out in the middle of his Goliath crisis. He found out how much his God was in bat and at bat for him. When Moses was going through the Red Sea, he told Moses, "You raise your rod," and that's all that was needed. And in your life and in your crisis, you may be like Job. You're losing things, but here's the reality. God's not finished yet. The Bible says because of Job's integrity, it's as if God said from heaven, "Bully for you, Job. You've retained your integrity. You've been a man of God in the midst of people who are telling you to walk away from God and who are telling you to blame God and some of your friends who don't know me." He said, "I'm going to give to you twice as much as you ever had before." Now listen carefully. Can you give thanks for God? Sadly, so many people just think he's impersonal up there. That's not the least bit true. It was God that sent his son. Ladies, let me ask you this, and you can identify better with this, mothers. If you allowed your daughter to die for someone and you consented to it, who would have the greater love, your daughter or you? See, here's the reality. Jesus didn't die outside of the will of God. His Father said, "Yes, I'll let you die." The God of the universe, the God who upholds all things by the word of his power, he said, "Yes, son, I consent to you being crucified." I don't know about you. You wouldn't give your child on their worst day for me, because that's just the way human nature is. But here's what the God of heaven said. You're doomed if I don't give my son for you. You're damned if I don't give my son for you. And God said, "I want you to know there is nothing in heaven that I won't give for you." Now let me ask you a question. If God would give Jesus Christ to die on the cross, what other need could you have that God won't meet? What other need? Well, you say, "Well, I need money." Well, if he gave his son's blood, money's not an issue. Things are not an issue. But here's what God says. "I want the praise from your mouth." Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you said, "Lord God, just praise you. I don't want anything from you. I'm not asking you for a single thing. I'm not asking for a job, or I just want to lift my lips to you and say, thank you. You've got the whole world in the palm of your hands." And you see, when you do that, there's something radical that changes in your soul. Things come and go. Crises come. You know what David said? He said, "You know what? When you walk with God, the world can blow up and you won't be shaken. You can have an earthquake in your region, like we did just the other day." Because here's the reality. My Father is in control of it all. Your Father, if you're a child of God, he's in control of everything that there is. Now, what do you believe he can't take care of? What do you think he can't handle? What is there in your life? Well, you know, I need help with a job. I need help with a career. I need a job relocation. Let me ask you a question. When you had a need the last time, when was the last time you got on your knees and gave it to God? Lord, and you just gave it to him right there. You know what I have need of. There's something about getting alone with God in private and giving them over to him. Because here's what he says. I want to show you that I'll go to bat for you. Matthew 6, 6 principle. You pray to your Father in secret. And here's the answer. Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly, says the Lord. I'm so glad that I have a God that's in heaven. Amen. And I have a God that is great, that's infinite, that's constant, and a God that loves me. The winds of change will come in this world. The winds and the storms, the calamities of life. But our Father is in control. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that no matter what winds and storms and crisis hit the world, hit our life, we don't need to be shaken. We don't need to be in a crisis because you've got everything in the palm of your hand. Father, sometimes we forget you've got the whole world in your hands. We can say it with our heads, but Lord, when we believe it with our hearts, we just release everything to you. We just give you all the problems. We give you all the crisis, and we just watch you at work. Father, I pray for that person here today who you're not their father because they've never invited Christ into their life. They've never repented of their sin. They've never prayed that simple yet sincere and serious prayer, inviting you into their heart. Father, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in this invitation. In Christ I pray. Amen. So we stand.